and down, side to side. Everything you're listening to is Ramble Room. Can I get it now? Ramble Room.
Whoa.
You're listening to the Ramble Room, baby.
Ramble Room, Ramble Room.
What?
Ramble Room, Ramble Room.
Who?
Fun. Looking forward to the weekend. Okay. It actually is Friday today.
It is.
Okay, guys. So we have to make an apology.
We do.
Because we've already recorded Stuck in the Suburbs, but recently Ariana has discovered...
new information has surfaced.
From the god himself, Drew Seeley. Drew Seeley has confirmed.
From the absolute legend. From
the Disney god. That he is not the singing voice of Jordan Cahill in Stuck in the Suburbs.
Which is shocking because he's the savior of the Disney Channel.
It's shocking because everyone... including, I think, the IMDb page thought it was him, right?
Yes.
I swear,
Google
it's like
it.
A fucking fact on
no,
there.
No, if you Google it, it says that Jordan Cahill is voiced, like the singing is
by
voiced
Drew
by Drew Seeley.
But it just says uncredited. Well, now we realize maybe
because he was on a podcast.
That's why he was uncredited.
That has Disney Hall of Famers, Will Friedle and Dorinda.
Yeah, I don't know her name, though, the actress.
Anyway, they have a podcast and they interviewed both Drew and Taryn Killam, and both of them said that they didn't do the singing voice for Jordan Cahill. My guess is that it's the guy who plays his assistant, his real voice, and maybe it was like they were trying to launch his career. My other guess is that it was some black man, because that man, Jordan Cahill, has soul, and I don't know too many white people that do.
Yeah, all of our souls have been sucked out by the evil white demons. Of white people, because we get it.
We're not a fun race. Sorry.
No.
I'm
the
sorry.
Fucking worst race. My God.
What's our culture? Killing people.
Our culture's destruction.
Yeah.
And thievery. That's what our culture's based on. Some bullshit. It's not even culture. It's just fucking fucked up. Okay.
But let's talk about the culture of 2008.
Yeah.
When this movie came out.
This bomb-ass movie.
We watched Minutemen.
Oh, my God. I'm going to argue probably one of the best ones.
I would agree with that.
I wonder if we tried to do a tier list after all of this.
Oh, we need to. Guys, we're going to do a tier list after this. I don't care.
I just fear that I'm not going to remember some of the ones we watched 2 years ago.
The ones that you don't remember, put in F.
Yeah, I guess... yeah.
If it didn't make a lasting impression.
Wait, yeah, you're right. We'll put those in the bottom.
Like, hello?
But Minutemen is definitely going to be in the S tier.
They're
getting
S
a superior.
Plus, I don't know. Let me just give you the one sentence pitch, and then we'll just jump into it, okay?
That's a different Disney Channel movie. We already reviewed that.
You know what's crazy? I have a coworker that anytime he starts a meeting, he says, so let's jump in. And every single time, my head goes Gordon Blue. So I'm so glad that I said it, and you... had the same thought.
Okay, what's the one sentence pitch?
Three teen outcasts invent a time machine to save their social lives. A bit of Back to the Future moment.
With snowsuits. God.
All white snowsuits.
Those costumes are sick.
Guys, this movie stars Nicholas Braun, the Braun.
An icon.
Jason Dolley, the Braun. And
the Braun.
Luke Benward, the Brains. And let me tell you something.
What did you say Luke Benward is in?
Buckle up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember now. I feel
so
like
Luke Benward, I like associate him and his name with him as an older person. So when we were watching this, I went, why does this kid look so familiar? And then I looked it up and it was Luke Benward and my head exploded. Luke is in the... another Disney Channel original movie that we will watch called Cloud Nine. But he was also in that Life of the Party with Melissa McCarthy, and he plays Melissa McCarthy's love interest. I'm sure he's been in a lot of other things.
He's also dating Ariel Winter from Modern Family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what cutie. It says on here. I didn't know that. They were best friends for years.
That's
and
adorable.
And transitioned to dating. There's also a mean guy, or, well...
he's not really...
it's ambiguous at first.
Yeah. His name's Derek, and he's like friends with Jason Dolley's character at the beginning. And he's played by the guy who plays Jeremy in Vampire Diaries.
Stephen McQueen.
Which really threw me off.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I watched Vampire Diaries later in life, like middle school. I watched this when I was like 9. I was not much older.
I was obsessed with this movie because it came out in my middle school years, which is just prime time to be obsessed with things. And right. Oh my God, I love this movie so much. And it still holds up. I still love it.
But like watching Vampire Diaries, I didn't go, oh, that's the guy from Minutemen.
Right, yeah. And well, then he's not the important character in this.
When we were watching this again, I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many people I know in this.
Yeah.
Because Chelsea What's-Her-Butt from Jonas L.A. and Baby Daddy, she's also mm-hmm. in it.
Chelsea Staub.
Staub. What else was she in? I feel like she was, she was in a musical. It was a jukebox musical called Love Struck the Musical. And the person that played alongside her is guess who?
Corbin Bleu?
Drew Seeley.
Oh, that's funny. She's also in Starstruck.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. She's got a very small part in that. I remember watching Starstruck, and we're going to review this movie later, but I remember just being like, oh my gosh, they're from Kalamazoo, Michigan. That's so close.
The movie begins with Virgil, our main character, played by Jason Dolley.
He's got braces.
Got braces, getting off the school bus, meeting up with Derek, his BFF, and Stephanie, his other BFF.
Played by Chelsea. And Chelsea's got pigtails.
Yeah.
And I think that was to make them look younger.
Yeah, because this is supposed to be their freshman year. And then when it flashes forward, it's their senior year. So
did you ever wear pigtails to high school?
Yeah, but they were low pigtails, probably. I don't think I wore.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think I wore like the high pigtails.
No.
But yeah, because Virgil has braces. Yeah. And then, you know, later in the flash forward.
And Derek's the only character that doesn't change.
But he does, I think he's got like a
does
bowl
he push
cut
his
here.
Hair back?
Yeah, he pushes his, you look sexy with your hair pushed back. Yeah, I think he's got like a bowl cut freshman year. Anyway,
they're all
trying out for new activities and they're excited for high school. Derek is like promising football player. Chelsea's, I'm going to call them by their actors' names now. We shouldn't have gone over their actors' names. Fuck. Stephanie tries out cheerleader and gets that. And we have Virgil, who's kind of.
He's a comedian.
Yeah, he's funny.
Of sorts.
I don't know what he's, I think maybe, is he also trying to do football or no, he's not interested in that.
He's just there to support because. Stephanie is
his
trying
thing.
Out for cheer.
Right. And it's not his thing. But then we get introduced to Charlie, who has a rocket machine that he's working on. And he's very, very intelligent young kid. But is he younger than them?
Yes.
Charlie comes in with this rocket-powered machine contraption he's made because he's a genius. And he ends up, like, pummeling down the cheerleaders and disrupting the football practice. So,
but I think Charlie is, he's got to be like a sixth grader or something.
Yeah, because he's a freshman by the time.
Or a seventh grader
they're
at
a senior?
Least. Yeah.
Or is it just that he's super smart and so he goes to high school? Is that ever established?
I do think that he is just a smart kid. And maybe he was taking like. You know how like when in middle school
yeah, high school
take
classes.
AP class and it was basically the high school class?
Yes.
Maybe that's what it is.
So I don't know if it's one of the football players ends up tossing a football at Charlie's head. I think it honestly might have been Derek. That wouldn't surprise me.
Like, I don't think it was an aim, though.
Yeah. Well, it hits him in the head and then everyone's like, nice throw. And Derek's like, hey, I'm cool now. And then somehow they all, like, circle around Charlie, and they take him out of his little machine, and they're, like, pushing him around. I don't know if somehow Virgil gets stuck in the middle of the circle as well. I don't know if he was just checking to see if Charlie's okay, and then that ended up with him being in the middle of the circle. But either way, they both end up getting shoved into cheerleader's uniform somehow. That must have taken a lot of manhandling. And then tossed up onto a statue. And so they're just sitting there, they're just dangling there.
And then bodies are limp.
Then we flash forward 3 years. Virgil's a senior. I do not know. Charlie's a freshman?
Possibly.
I feel like he's got to be, because he's definitely younger than them.
Here's what's crazy, though. The fact that Virgil continued to hang out with a middle schooler for 3 years, pretty wild.
I don't see it in a weird way.
I think it's like, this is my little brother now. Like, I got to take care of this little guy.
Yeah.
Because he's getting bullied and pushed around. But he's also super smart. Either way, we also see that Derek and Stephanie are now dating. They're the popular hot couple of the school.
Mm-hmm. They're the hot commodity because he's the quarterback and she's head cheerleader.
And it seems like Stephanie, she still is like nice to
Virgil.
Virgil, and she's smiling at him in the parking lot. And then they come across Zeke, who's on a motorcycle.
Played by Nicholas Vaughn.
How fuck old is he supposed to be?
I think he's a senior as well, but he's a new student.
I'm going to guess he's 18 then, if he's got a motorcycle. Yeah.
Guys, Nicholas Braun is the hottest person in this whole movie. Jeremy who? Never cared about him. Derek, but, I mean.
Yeah, so Virgil's at like the quote-unquote nerd table, longing to be at the popular table with Stephanie. And Derek, honestly, because at some point Derek is gaslit Virgil into believing that he didn't participate in the humiliation and hanging him and Charlie up on the statue.
And honestly, he's gaslit us as well as the audience because we don't know that information.
Yeah, he's very ambiguous to begin this movie. We're not sure how we're supposed to feel about
him. You're like, I know I don't like him, but I don't know why I don't like him.
Yeah.
That's how I felt the whole movie.
We also see Stephanie, you know, she talks to Virgil, and I had made a note about this when we first watched this movie, that Jason Dolly so convincingly plays that he's in love with Stephanie. I really truly believe that this boy loves her.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do. But like, because there's High School Musical, there's Camp Rock, and some of those people were even dating in real life, but I still don't believe like there's a true actual like, I love you unconditionally type of love. Yeah. But this kid like genuinely loves Stephanie.
Yeah.
I can see it in his face. It's very cute.
I can see it in your eyes.
I can see it in your smile.
Thanks for taking it to a different key. That was crazy.
Oh, you're welcome. Then Charlie is freaking out because he's figured out a specific project that he's been working on that's revealed to be a time machine that he reveals to Virgil.
What?
Yeah, crazy. I know. It's a time machine, dude. It's absolutely wild.
And you know what? All of these Disney Channel movies, they have like home ec classes. And I just, when did those go away? Because we did not have them. Maybe it's school to school.
I'm sure some schools still have them.
But it's kind of, I think that's probably more important. You're teaching kids how to cook?
Yeah.
How
we
to
spent
live?
Like half a semester on finance, maybe even less than that. And that was terrible. We should have had more.
I think
on
you
finance.
Did. I think I had a whole semester of personal finance.
Yeah.
But it was a class you had to opt into.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. If the like track on what I was on was you did algebra, you did geometry, you did trigonometry, and then you did calculus your senior year.
And mine was I did pre-algebra, algebra, geometry, personal finance.
That was probably more useful, honestly.
Yeah.
When the fuck am I going to use trigonometry if I'm not like an engineer or something? My God, it's terrible. Okay,
yeah,
anyway.
They need to do more like how colleges are like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And we'll teach you how to do that.
Yes, can we cultivate my brain to be more something that like I would be successful in?
I want
to
do in my life?
I'm not going to use this trigonometry, I promise you. And I haven't. And it's been like 15 years now.
Yeah, it's been 1 week.
Well, actually, not 15. It'll be 10 years. Just kidding. I'm not that old. Yeah.
You just aged yourself 5 whole years.
I know. I aged myself 5 whole years, but that's how I feel, you know? I feel like I'm 30.
Every time I sneeze and my back goes out, I think I've aged another decade.
I've got a hernia. Okay. Then Charlie wants to recruit Zeke. Virgil is reluctant.
What? I'd want to recruit Zeke, too.
Yeah.
If I were Charlie... Have you seen the guy? He's so pretty.
And that's
he's
the thing.
He's a bad boy. He's mysterious. He's
that's
got a leather
thing.
Jacket.
Oh. Zeke is like, I guess, outwardly a bad boy, but he's also an engineer nerd.
And he's a little sweetie.
He's super
petey.
Smart.
Guys, I love Nicholas Braun. Since I was a kid. And even now. Love, 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 love.
So they end up finding a space in like the basement of the school, kind of. It's almost like an abandoned classroom.
It's almost like What all schools don't have is a basement of old classrooms that nobody uses anymore.
The vice principal is the guy from Phil of the Future. Who was the principal?
Either the principal or the vice principal in that show. I don't remember.
He was one of the two. But I was saying to Ari that I do enjoy that this vice principal would be the person that's like being more interactive with the students than some movies just have it be a principal. And that is not what the principal does.
No. I think the principal is like the, like if there's if it's big more, discipline,
yeah,
principal gets involved. But most of it's like talking to the parents, talking to the board. He's like the middleman between the board and the students. Or
it should just always be a vice. Yeah. If an adult is like disciplining, it's going to be like the teacher and the vice principal. It is not going to be the principal.
No.
I don't know where that came from, but unless, the VP is the one that's doing all the disciplining.
Unless you are a thief like I was, you may never even meet your principal.
Exactly.
I had my locker.
It was like a weird celebrity sighting when you saw the principal. You're like, the principal's coming to the school? Oh, they're never fucking here.
Yeah, I had my locker in the principal's office in second grade because I was a kleptomaniac.
Oh, my God. Oh, Ariana.
I was suspended a couple times, too.
You fucking thief. You're a child of Hermes. You would be BFFs with Luke.
Don't say that to me. That's traumatizing.
Okay, you'd be BFFs with the Stoll brothers. That's better.
Is it? Do either of them die?
No. Not that I know of. I still haven't read all of the books. Okay.
Anyway.
Zeke ends up joining their team, so now they've got a squad.
That was so nerdy. Now they've got a squad.
And while they're in the basement, Charlie conducts his experiments. He's trying to get ready to set this thing up for time travel. And I honestly, I don't know. I feel like Virgil's kind of not believing it completely.
Oh, yeah.
He's like very reluctant in this. But he's also excited and interested. Mm-hmm. Whereas Zeke is more like, no, I think this is possible and I'll help you out with it.
Which I think is so amazing. Because here's the thing, too. I think Nicholas Braun, I know I said I was going to do this. I think he does play both of those very accurately. Like the new kid, misunderstood, mysterious, bad boy, but also nerdy. Like you wouldn't expect them to go together, but he makes them fit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They all play their parts really well.
They do. I think the acting's done really well in this.
And maybe we're just biased, but watch it yourself.
But I don't think we are because I'll watch High School Musical and recognize if something's like bad or cheesy or whatever.
Camp Rock is bad.
Yeah, but it also just has to do with like how the characters are written. I think the characters are well written enough that I'm believing their relationships, even though I've only watched, you know, 10 minutes of it so far. I believe that Charlie and Virgil are best friends and that they've hung out since they were hanging on that statue.
Yeah. I will say, I do think that this movie is the first movie in a hot minute that, I don't know how I want to phrase this, but when I watch this movie, it makes me feel similarly to how I feel when I watch Read It and Weep.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I don't know how else to explain it.
Okay. That you don't have any explanation for that?
No.
Okay.
And that's why I said I didn't know how I wanted to say it, because I don't know how. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. But
okay, well.
They make me feel the same way.
Well, during their first test run, I think they also realized that they need to wear, like, coats and stuff, because time traveling, you end up going into a space in which the temperature is, like, freezing cold. So they kind of, like, bundle up before they do this test. They end up traveling back in time and go to, like, a liquor store or, like, a grocery store, and outside of it is a street performer, which is a weird place for a street performer to be.
Yeah, usually they're, like, on crowded sidewalks.
They're not in the city. Why is there a street performer here? And it's the one that's like, oh, I'm painted in silver and I will be doing robot moves.
Yeah, it's weird.
But either way, they convince the street performer to purchase them a winning lottery ticket. I guess because they did their research of like what numbers won the lottery. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay, so we go back before that person won the lottery and we get the street performer to buy that specific ticket for us and we'll have money. Well,
when they're in the future, they basically find out that they have to leave sooner rather than later because they have like a set window of time that they can leave because it's just the three of them. Nobody's watching that machine.
Right.
So they basically, they ask the guy to buy the ticket and they'll be back the next day to pick up the reward, basically.
Yep. But they end up not being able to go back in time and the street performer ends up just winning the lottery himself.
So no, they say we'll be back tomorrow to get it.
I know, but they don't end up going.
Yes, they do. And he's already cashed it in.
Oh, okay. I got you. So then this leads to Charlie figuring out that they can only use the time machine for specific things and that they'd also need someone to watch the machine so that they can time travel for longer. They keep it to, we're only going to go back in time if we need to undo a mistake like in class or I guess that's it. They kind of like keep it to the school. We'll only time travel, but for school reasons, which is weird.
Well, because they see somebody getting bullied. They see a basically running through the halls without his clothes on because the jock stole his clothes.
Yeah.
You know, that thing that happened in school when you were there. And they basically are like, this is what we can use the time machine for, is to help people like us.
Take down bullies.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, almost kind of preparing them like.
They become time travel vigilantes.
Yeah. For the victims of the bullies at the school. And then...
for the nerds.
They end up recruiting Jeanette, who has a huge crush on Charlie.
Yep.
And of course, she's going to help them. And she's going to be the one that oversees the machine as the three of them become time travel vigilantes. Jeanette ends up giving them snowsuits, which look amazing.
Because she's basically like... you guys need to be more fashionable with your choices.
And those terrible thin coats that they were wearing weren't going to be good enough to protect them. So she gives them these dope ass jackets and gloves and hoods. And it's like pure white. So they don't really hide well in public. So when they go back in time to do all these, you know, rescuing,
they're kind of a spotlight on themselves.
Yeah, they're not really covert in their,
luckily they've got black goggles and they've got hoods up so people can't really tell that it's them.
But they do become known as the snowsuit guys.
Yes,
like they're being mentioned in the local newspaper. I don't know why, because they're kind of dealing with trivial things. Like they decided, they're like, we're not going to do anything big, but apparently it was enough to get in the paper. Like, what? I'm actually confused by that now.
Are we sure it's not the school paper?
Oh, it didn't look like a school paper, but it could be, I guess. Then I think as they're doing this, they start to realize the consequences of their actions. Because the people that were being bullied are now becoming a bully.
Yeah.
They're starting to take advantage of the fact that, oh, I took down this person, so now I'm going to join the popular kids and become one of them. They're going to Katie Heron it. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I should mention, they start to be called the snowsuit guys, but they all wanted to be called the Minutemen.
Oh.
They thought that was a cooler name, but no one has latched on to that, which is kind of funny. It makes me think of, you like, when you try to make something nickname cool. Yeah, exactly. It's not going to be cool. It's like, I doubt Batman named himself Batman. And that's why it's cool. It's not like Bruce Wayne was going around, or was he? Was his first mission, Alfred? And he was like, I'm Batman.
I mean, I could see him doing that, actually. He does say his name a lot. So I feel like he's probably one. Superman, less likely.
Yeah, because he's like, I'm Clark, you dumbasses.
Well, no, he's like, I'm technically Kal-El. I don't know what you're talking about.
Who the fuck is Superman?
But it's because he's got the S, but even though it's like the symbol of his planet, they see the S and they're like, oh, it's Superman.
A good example. In the first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire, when he's going, I'm the Human Spider. Terrible name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then the announcer ends up calling him Spider-Man, which is a way better name.
Which I don't know if that's accurate to the comic books, but...
I'm not Well, I'm not talking about the comics. I'm just saying that's a good example. I'm trying to come up with a cool nickname and it doesn't work.
But can I be honest? Minutemen is way cooler than Snowsuit Guys.
I agree. That's the reason it's the title of the movie.
Yeah, they flipped it. They messed up.
They said, no, these three kids are smart. They actually know what works and everyone else is fucking idiot.
They're like the Minute Men. Which Minutemen makes me think of Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, because their mascot
is the Minutemen.
All the kids see the snowsuit guys as heroic vigilantes, but the vice principal does not. He's like, these guys are troublemakers. I'm not sure why he thinks that, because they're just stopping bullying. What is the problem?
I don't know. Oh, because he's like, you're not students here. Isn't that it? He's like, get out of my school. What are you doing?
I guess. Maybe he's just wondering who these people are. Yeah. He doesn't like that he doesn't know who they are.
Yeah.
Because they could be doing something nefarious, I guess. While they're eating lunch, Charlie is freaking out. He ends up confessing to them that he hacked into NASA's files to get the formula and complete the formula that makes time travel work.
You know how you did that when you were a freshman in high school, too?
Yeah, totally. That totally happens all the time. Even with the really, really genius kids, that totally happens to them. I'm sure.
It's tough.
Also, all three of the main characters have the same 2010s
ridiculous swept hair. But Nicholas Braun's the only one who makes it work, baby.
His does look good, but it's because it's more of like the scene style layers that it works better for him.
Yes.
With Jason, it's just one straight layer of swoop.
And it's way too grown out. Luke Benward is like
a middle.
What Jason Dolly used to have before it grew out longer.
Luke has like a helmet hair. It's almost becoming a mullet in the back there.
Yes.
Whereas Jason's is more all full length or all the same
it's
length.
It's past his ears.
But it's flipped out.
It like took a flat iron to that head for sure.
Yeah. So then we find out Chelsea had an accident during her cheer routine and has broken her leg. Hi, I'm Trudy.
And my name is Joseph Trudy, but you can just call me Trudy, and you're listening to QVC, HSN, NBC, ABC, DFG.
Listen up, and listen very closely, because I got a new product for ya. I got a new product for ya, you dumbass kids. Listen up here, get your newspaper from the boy who throws newspapers at your door. Okay, the product is a nail file.
What does it do?
It's a nail file. What do you think it do?
I don't know what I think it do.
We're off the rails.
It's a filing cabinet for your nails?
No, it files down your nails. You know those...
Like the nails I put in
that
my
you
wall?
Got, no, you know the things that you got sticking at your fingers?
My
that
skin?
That scratch and gouge eyes out? They have the potential to do great harm if need be. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
So you could use a nail file to sharpen your nails, perhaps? You can reshape them. You could have them be round. You could have them be square. You could
why
have them be diamond
be
if you really fucking wanted it.
Why would I want them to be a square? I don't want a box on my fingers.
It's a style choice, okay? It's up to you. You can do whatever the fuck you want with your nails. As long as you got a nail file. Because it's here, fresh off the market. Who knows what people were using before? Perhaps those sandpaper things from the fucking craft store?
I usually use nail clippers on my teeth.
But the nail clipper doesn't smooth out the nail. Sometimes, if you clip your nail, it could still be sharp on the edges. You don't know this because you don't clip your nails. I can tell. They just fall off.
Well, I have to keep them short because I play guitar.
Trudy, you think you're playing guitar. I've heard you. So you're playing guitar, and I say that in quotes, playing. Or is guitar in quotes? Because what are you really playing? You're probably actually playing a mandolin. You don't even know it.
It's just Drudy in a corner with a banjo. I love to play guitar. And you're like,
that's a fucking cello, Drudy.
I mean, it's a harp.
Why is your guitar shaped like a banjo? That's all I'm saying.
Banjo's type of guitar.
It's a string instrument. Do you know how many different string instruments there are? There's violins, a viola, a cello.
That's the three.
Even a piano's a stringed instrument, technically. Can you play the piano? If you can play the piano, then I'll be impressed.
I'll learn. I'll figure it out for you.
All right. I'm looking forward to that then, because I prefer you play the piano.
All right, that sounds good. How much is Nail File cost?
You could play Benny and the Jets for me. God, I love that song. I think that's my top number one song of all time. Benny
real,
and the Jets.
You're a real Elton John girly. How much does it cost?
Oh, yeah, the Nail File is like $8 million.
Okay, so pretty cheap. Affordable.
Pretty cheap. It's very cheap.
Affordable. Don't even have the layaway plan, truly.
Exactly.
And
available to the top 0.001% of people, you know?
Yeah, which is
purely cheap.
That's our demographic.
Exactly. That's who we're going after. They'll buy a Nail File for that much.
And what colors does it come?
It doesn't. It's just like a stainless steel type of look. They've also got these things called emery boards. That's not what I'm talking about.
Memory board?
Emery boards. Those are fucking a sorry excuse for a Nail File if I ever seen one. You need pure stainless steel. It gives you good vitamins for your nails. Your nails will grow faster if you use that.
Really, I'm starting to think maybe we aren't selling Nail Files, just something that maybe
just
will
a knife.
Work.
Listen, you say potato, I say potato. You say it's emery board, I say a fucking knife. Listen, there's no difference. It could still do the job. It gets the job done, and it's unbelievably cheap.
I've never heard somebody call potatoes potatoes, have you?
Well, you clearly never met Greg.
Who is Greg?
Greg, he works down on the corner at the millinery. It's a millinery shop. He makes women's hats. They're very fashionable, very
military?
Millinery. He's very talented, says potato.
Like he wants a potato chip.
He might be the only one who says it, but there's still one. One is the loneliest number.
One singular sensation every step she takes.
Drudy, stick to your guitar playing, okay? Now, for the shipping, we have a holiday deal. The shipping is now $20,000 instead of free. And I think that's great. We should be giving back. I think it's good for the community. $20,000 to ship a nail
file. A nail file knife.
Yes, that's great. I think that's wonderful. People will love to get their piece of stainless steel chunk in a box. And they'll go, $20,000 for this? What a steal.
$8 million.
And that's a pun on the stainless steel.
It's $20 million plus the $8 million they pay for it.
Well, it's $20,000, but yeah.
$20,000, I apologize.
Yeah, exactly. It's great.
Apologies.
All right, well, what do you think? Should we go back to the podcast? Are you going to go play your guitar?
You can get it.
Or get working on the piano?
Yes. Okay. You can get this at 3D.shop.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much. Or something like that. I still have yet to double check that website.
I have no idea anymore.
I'm sure it'll pop up.
You'd probably ask Fred.
Okay, love it. Or Greg.
Did you just say love you?
I did. I feel
like that's a little personal for our listeners. They weren't ready for that. You just sprung that on them. What the fuck is wrong with you? Now they're going to have emotional turmoil about their relationship with us for the rest of the day. You just ruined that. Oh my God. I'm not cutting that out either. I'm going to make you feel humiliated about what you just said. You just did a love confession, a casual love confession. Just drop that in there right before we leave.
I'm sorry. I felt like I was hanging up with my father on the phone.
Your father? I haven't told my father I loved him ever.
I just said father, like I'm Irish.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. Okay, get off the podcast or go back to it. I don't know.
Okay. Virgil is going against Charlie's wishes that they would limit how much their time travel because he wants to go back in time to prevent Chelsea's injury. I'm going to keep calling her by the actress's name, but you know who I'm talking about.
There's literally just two girls in this. The other one's Jeanette, because I don't know the actress's name. Anyway, they end up going back in time. They end up saving Stephanie from her injury that would have cost, you know, her scholarship, I guess, that she was going to get for college. I don't know. Do you get scholarships for cheerleading? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You can.
I didn't know that because we didn't really have cheerleaders.
We had a dance team.
Yeah, we did not. We did not have a cheer team. Anyway, while in the process of rescuing Stephanie, Stephanie ends up figuring out that Virgil is one of the Minutemen.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of reveals their whole scheme. Stephanie then asks Virgil to help Derek win the game.
Yeah.
Win his football game. Because I guess they lost and she wants him to go back in time to help. Which, again, Charlie's like, no, we cannot do this. We're going to be fucking with time too much. And it's going to potentially ruin the universe.
Yeah. So Stephanie tells Derek about Virgil being one of the snowsuit men. So that Derek's like, well, I need to ask him if he can help me win this football game.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. You're right, because it is coming from Derek specifically. Mm-hmm. Of course it is. Because
why would Chelsea care about that?
Yeah. So
he injured himself.
He ends up agreeing to help them out, which upsets Charlie and Zeke. So now Virgil is enjoying being on the popular side of things because Derek and Stephanie, like the trio's back together and they're hanging out at this house party. And Derek ends up cheating on Stephanie?
Yes.
Is it at this party?
I believe so.
Or it's implied at the party and she finds out later somehow? Oh,
it's at the party.
It's at the party because then as Virgil is talking to Charlie on the phone, he ends up getting a call from Stephanie, bails on Charlie. Because weren't they supposed to do something special? It was something like a special day. Like, oh, this was the day we met or something.
I think it was Charlie's birthday.
Oh my God, that's even worse. Virgil, you suck.
And he really only has the one.
Yeah, he just has his one friend and Zeke now.
Yeah. But I think Zeke was doing something. I don't remember.
Okay. Well, he ends up ditching Charlie to go help Stephanie with her boyfriend problems. We find out Derek's been cheating. We also get these flashes to people in NASA or like scientists who are like looking at, look at these calculations I found. Something is creating a wormhole in the universe. It's like they're freaking out about something. And then we get Derek. Derek ends up approaching Virgil. Derek goes out to lunch with Virgil, and
Virgil would agree to go to lunch with him is crazy to me.
I feel like Virgil is the weird in-between friend of, oh, well, Derek's my best friend, and Stephanie's my best friend, and yeah, Derek cheated on Stephanie, and I'm
in love with Stephanie.
But I'm still going to play the middleman, Middleman.
More like Minuteman.
I think he's just conflicted.
It's a tough spot to be in.
He also is still under the idea that Derek did not humiliate him. Yeah, he's a good friend, and he's not. He's just using him, clearly, because he tries to get Virgil to go back in time and prevent Stephanie from finding out that he cheated on her. The FBI end up locating where this activity is coming from with the scientist, and they interrogate Charlie, Zeke, and Virgil, finding out that, yes, they've created essentially a black hole that they have to now mend, which is wild. So the stakes have gone from 0 to 100. We find out space-time continuum is fucked. The snowsuit squad is working with the FBI now because they are calculating that they've got, like, hours left to live
before the black hole envelops the entire Earth.
Yeah, and fucking swallows itself into oblivion. What a bunch of idiots, you know? These three knuckleheads.
You sounded like such an old woman.
I am an old time travel
and they're wormholes.
I've already aged myself 5 years up. Clearly, I feel like an old woman. All right.
Clearly.
We end up having a school assembly type thing.
Where they're dressed in 50s?
Is it a dance? It's probably a dance,
You're an idiot. 15 years removed from being in high school.
No, you're right. It's a dance.
It's like a decades dance.
So
Virgil and Stephanie end up dancing, and Virgil...
And they're on the verge of kissing. I've been because waiting.
Also, Virgil has, like, fully realized, okay, I've got feelings for this girl, which he's kind of always known, but I think it's kind of more up to the front of his mind because Derek has been trying to get him to go back in time and fix the whole cheating thing.
Yeah.
The cheating scandal.
Of 2018. Then of 2008.
Charlie interrupts the dance and is like, we're all gonna fucking die. We have to go back in time. And
we're all gonna die!
And the idea is that if they go back in time, they have to go back to the specific moment that Charlie had that rocket machine, because that's what ended up kind of creating the technology for the time travel thing. And he has to go retrieve a component from that specific
thing. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So
forgot about the logistics of why they had to go back.
That's why they have, well, it's just why they have to go back to that specific day. Because I think the rocket machine got destroyed. I'm sure there's some weird physics Disney Channel-esque explanation. You know, I'm hacking into the mainframe.
Physics.
Physics.
It's my thing.
Just can't keep your feet off the ice.
Thermodynamic. Okay.
Wait, what's that from?
It's Ice Princess.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Why'd you say ice like you said? It's Ice Princess.
It's ice, ice, baby. All right. Well, then the crowd is like, yeah, let's go. So they go,
let's
like,
go look at the wormhole. Yeah,
that's going to score us. Yeah. Which, honestly, that is such like a Gen Z thing of
yeah. like, should we get a picture of that? Post it on the internet before we all die?
Let's get as close as we can to that black hole,
without
we're having a party.
In it.
So they line up. They're cheering on the Minutemen who are about to go jump into this fucking wormhole, which seems goggles, very dangerous.
Goggles and hoods off. Everybody knows who they are.
And they're like the cool kids now. Because everyone's
got a
like,
fan club.
Yeah, exactly. Which he should.
He's the tall Minuteman.
That's the only reason why.
100%.
And he rides a motorcycle. That makes him cool. Is it a motorcycle or does he have like a moped?
I think it's a motorcycle, but
okay.
For the sake of high school, it probably should have been a moped painted black.
Well, they end up jumping into the wormhole, going back to the first day of high school.
Well, because the wormhole is created from the time machine that's underneath the
rocket
football
thing.
Field.
Oh, underneath the football field.
Correct.
I see.
So they're jumping into the wormhole because that is the time machine now.
Right.
They're not jumping in there just for suicidal purposes. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, no, they're on a mission, but it's still
you
very
just
dangerous.
To my rhymes, because I'm all about to sink us.
All right. Well,
that's it takes two.
As they arrive back in time to the first day of high school, Virgil
gotta
has
go
this
back in time.
Virgil has this moment where he considers not doing anything and just staying.
No.
He doesn't want to meet Charlie.
Correct. So he's like, if you guys go get the part, I can stop my humiliation from happening.
Okay.
So he wants to do both at the same time.
Okay. Is there a movie where someone's like, I want to stay in the past? What the fuck is that movie?
Oh, Back to the Future. Doc. When he stays in the hole with the train and the kids and his wife.
I think you're right. That is probably what I'm thinking of.
Back to the Future 3. Anyway.
Yes.
And
so,
then Charlie is basically like, why would you want to do that? That's the day that you and I met. And he's like, yeah, but it humiliated me and I didn't have any friends, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, I wouldn't change that day for anything because it's the day that I got my first for real friend.
But he says it like he delivers it.
So well.
He delivers it
clearly
so
I'm
well.
Clearly, I'm not an actress. I'm a podcaster. So I can't do it justice. But Luke Benward makes you want to cry.
He says, I cherish that day because that was the day I made my best, like, I got my best friend. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. Yeah. And it's just this beautiful, sweet moment. I cried watching it. I didn't expect to cry.
I think I got teary-eyed. But I will say, the things that make Melissa sob for Disney Channel movies are not things that make me sob.
Yeah. I think I get weirdly touched by like very heartwarming things. Do you know what I mean? Like if something sad happens to someone, I might cry. But I'll more likely cry if something is like heartwarming that's happening to someone after they've been sad.
I'm just trying to think of the last Disney Channel movie I cried at.
Well,
I know
mine
I
was
cried
clearly Minute
Lane, I know I cried in Lane and Miracle.
Oh, yeah, Miracle in Lane 2.
Thank you. I know I cried during that one, but I can't remember after that. Anyway.
Well, anyway, so then Charlie and Zeke are like, well, we're going to go whether you come with us or not, Virgil. Virgil ends up changing his mind because he's like, you're... Oh, no, no, he doesn't.
Virgil goes. And they're like, whatever. So they go find the part. And Virgil's watching the scene play out. And he's like just watching it. He's not doing anything to stop it. And then he finds out as he's watching, because he lets the moment happen. He's basically got the little Charlie voice in his head telling him, you're my best friend.
Yes.
And this is when he finds out that he's been gaslit this whole time.
By Derek.
And finds out that it was Derek's idea to...
Hang them up on the statue.
And dress them in the cheerleading outfits.
Right. So Virgil decides to go meet up with them again. And...
Do they miss the wormhole? Like it closes? Because then they have to drive somewhere else. So they do.
But that's the thing. You're right, because the hole's starting to close and they have to quickly get to the hole before it completely closes. So they get onto the rocket machine thing and speed their way through the black hole.
Gotcha.
Because see, it's like closing more and more, and then finally they line up to it and they're able to escape. They're brought back to present day. They're brought back to the day they first time traveled. But they remember everything and no one else does.
Mm.
So they're kind of back to their loser status. They're no longer the cool kids, which I kind of like.
I do too.
I like that they've learned the lesson, but not everyone else has. It's an interesting thing. It's kind of, again, we're going to talk about Spider-Man, but kind of like Spider-Man, everyone forgets him, but he remembers everything.
Spoiler alert.
What? Whatever, Ariana. It's like fucking 3 years old now.
That's crazy.
I know. Almost. No, yeah, it's 3 years old because it came out December.
Almost 15 years.
Almost 15 years ago. I have no concept of time.
Me either, honestly.
So Virgil ends up confronting Derek about him being a dickhead. And Stephanie, I think, is kind of impressed because I think she just leaves Derek, right?
Well, she's kind of like annoyed with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was talking to some other girl. And then Virgil basically tells Stephanie that he likes her. And she's like, oh.
Good. I see what you're saying. So Derek has already been caught kind of weirdly flirting.
Yes.
Whereas previously, Virgil wouldn't have said anything. But this time he stands up to Derek and then he's like, Stephanie, I like you. And
And here's the thing. Stephanie's liked Virgil since the beginning. Because at the beginning, when he's standing there joking around with the jocks, she's like looking at him. She's not looking at Derek. And so I think she's just been waiting for Virgil to tell her that he likes her because she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek has been so forward with her.
Yeah, you're right. Because basically the whole movie is Virgil not telling Stephanie anything. He doesn't make any kind of move. So now he finally just,
like,
does.
Looks at her and is like, I love you in his mind. But
yeah. Yeah, it's cute. I like their friendship. I like that they're best friends.
And Charlie kisses Jeanette. And keep in mind, we're back to when they first started this
time
thing.
Traveling.
And so she's like, what the?
Yeah, she's like, where did this come from? Because she likes him.
But she's like, also doesn't know him like she did.
Yeah, she's probably also like, why did the cute Charlie guy that I have a crush on just kiss me?
Right.
It was kind of like out of nowhere. Well, anyway, the movie ends with Charlie having a new idea for a teleportation device. And Zeke and Virgil are like, fuck no. And they start dragging him away while he's like ranting about.
Ranting and raving like
ranting and raving.
And then the end credit song is.
Like a roller coaster ride.
Up and down the side to side. Whoa, whoa.
Can I get it now? I also think that song plays earlier in the movie when there's like a montage.
It probably does.
But that's a great song. Allie and AJ, wonderful.
We love you, Allie. We love you, AJ.
Yeah.
What's your moral of the story?
Well, I think we had talked about it before we started recording where I was kind of going back through the movie. And the moral of the story is that trauma seems small, like something that seems trivial, like, oh, I got bullied in school, can actually, you know, of course have ramifications and consequences of trauma, that I genuinely think Virgil not only was gaslit by Derek, but gaslit himself into thinking that the situation wasn't as bad as it was, at least like with his friend. Of course he was humiliated because it's clearly stuck with him until senior year. But when it comes to Derek, I think he allowed himself to mask the pain of being betrayed by a friend. Instead of like avoiding revisiting that moment, he just kind of avoided it. Whereas Charlie is someone who has revisited that moment and has seen the good that's come of it. And Virgil's only seen the bad that's come of it because he never confronted it because he was trying to mask the pain of it too much. So I think it's good to revisit your past, reevaluate it, and maybe you can kind of come up with a different result from it. Or at least you're just seeing things from a different perspective than you did when you were younger. What do you think? This isn't really more, I guess it's a moral, but not really. It's just my thoughts on it.
You're just dissecting the movie.
I am, but I think it's a good point, no? No?
Huh? No? Eh? Right? Yeah, sure. I think for me, like, the moral of the story is that good can come out of bad.
Yeah.
And like what you view as all bad doesn't have to be. Alternative moral of the story, don't mess with stuff that you don't
that
know.
That fucks with time, yeah.
Like if you don't know what you're doing, like how what you're doing is affecting other things, maybe take a step back and
yeah, Charlie did not test things enough before jumping into time travel.
Yeah. And I think that that applies to the whole trauma thing too, of like if you don't know what you're doing, how it affects other people around you, then I think you should take a step back and evaluate.
Yeah, because that's a whole other kind of trauma.
Reevaluate your friendships and reevaluate what you're doing.
That's like a physical trauma to the earth.
Yes.
They were like fucking with time.
Yeah.
And space. They were traumatizing
I've
time.
I traveled time and space to find you. Now join me in the mating dance of Zion. All right, guys. We love you. And that was me to you, not Drudy to you.
Yeah, you've got to stop confessing your love. It's getting weird.
I think it's because I'm pretty sure it's like Caitlin.
Well, yeah, sure.
And I do love Caitlin.
Yeah, love you. Bye. And it feels good.